paraphrase, where there is vision that people prosper is true, is as we seek divine direction, right? Often we sense the need to know what God wants us to do, where he wants us to head, what we're supposed to do or not do. And so we do get into God's word. We see what principles are there. But beyond that, God very often will give us a conviction of what we should do or not do. Have you ever had that experience? In other words, we are able to get God's vision for our lives to move on. It's a vision for a better future and how to get there. This is very true as a church. I think that God desires every local church to have a very clear vision for where they are supposed to be heading. Several years ago, the elders, at that time we were six elders, I'm a better elder now than I was then because I'm an elder. Get that? An older elder, in other words, yeah. But we wanted to fulfill God's intent for our church, believing that God had a vision for us, okay? That we would be on the right track in harmony with what he has for us. And after much consideration, we came up with a vision statement that would provide the needed clarity for our vocation or our mission, where we should head. And I imagine many of you will recognize this vision statement. Here it is. We exist to call and make disciples from every nation to reach all nations. Okay? That's very simple, isn't it? That's the vision statement of IBC Hamburg. Okay? Now, notice several things in this statement. It says we exist to call out from the world, and that's evangelism, and make disciples. That talks about training or about equipping, right? From every nation, people from all these places I just mentioned, in order to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So, actually, our vocation, that is our mission, what we're to be doing is to put this vision into practice. And that's what I want to talk about today, because I want you to firmly grasp this in terms of the future, how important this concept is. God's vision becomes our vocation, and we as a church work to put this into practice. Now, as we wrote this 6 years ago, wrote this vision statement, it was clear to us that we would implement this, especially by two groups of people that make up a great part of our church. These are people who have come to Germany for a time, okay, temporarily, and others who are here permanently, okay, foreigners, okay, foreigners who are here temporarily and foreigners who are here for a longer or for a permanent period of time. And so our goal was to reach out to both of these people, these people groups or these groups of people, knowing that in so doing, we could well accomplish this vision. Now, this idea, okay, of having people, trying to reach people staying in the country and people who are just passing through is actually very biblical. Did you know that? If you listen or read the book of Acts or you read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, you'll realize that these two groups kind of come into play very often, but also in the Old Testament that I want to kind of base my message on this afternoon, this is also very true. Now, you may recall that God called Israel to be his missionary people. In other words, Israel was to live in such a relationship with Jehovah God that the other peoples from other nations and those living in the nation would say, wow, God is good. I want to know this living God. But again, we will see now how Israel was to reach or accomplish this missionary vision by reaching out to people outside of Israel, being attracted to Jehovah God, and the foreigners living within Israel, that they would also come to Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm trying to set up a pattern here. This is what we're doing as a church, hopefully, what we're trying to do, and what Israel also was doing, or what God's plan was for their lives, okay, for their existence as a nation. So let's look at these two aspects, okay? People outside are coming in just temporarily and people remaining in the land, okay? Our first point is this. Israel was to be a witness to foreigners who were temporarily in the land. Now, in 2 Chronicles 6, we find King Solomon's prayer at the dedication of his magnificent temple. It was probably one of the wonders of the ancient world. And, of course, it was first and foremost so that the people of Israel could have their central sanctuary. But notice in these verses, 32 and 33, what it says. And again, we're thinking about foreigners, okay? Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. In other words, the person has heard about these things. When he comes and prays toward this house, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. So pretty clearly, right? The temple was to be a place that, of course, the central sanctuary, that even foreigners would be attracted to because they would hear about this great God of Israel, and they would want to know more about him. You see, God wanted the whole world to know his name, to realize that he is the only God. And all of these signs and wonders and blessings that Israel enjoyed were meant to be a testimony far and wide of the God who did these things, right? To awaken interest in people to find out more about this great and living God. I'm going to give you an example in the person of Naaman. Ever heard of Naaman? He was a general of the king, or in Syria. He was a very important person, right? Or the field captain for the king of Syria. And he had been very successful in his victories for Syria. But he had one big problem, and that is that he had leprosy. You know what leprosy is? It's a skin disease. And it was kind of contagious, and so you would stay away. Ever had been around a person you thought they were kind of, the skin was kind of weird? I was on the U-Bahn last night. And I have to admit this, folks, I was standing there, you know, in the entrance, and a guy came in. He didn't probably have leprosy, but he had something, and it wasn't really I couldn't get farther back, right? You kind of move, and I didn't move. I was against the wall, right? But I mean, I think this guy had a problem, and it was not a good thing, right? Leprosy was a very, very dangerous condition that he had. Well, one day, a slave girl in Syria, she had been stolen basically in a raid by the Syrians. She told her mistress, who happened to be the wife of Naaman, she said, well, if Naaman would go to Israel or to Samaria specifically, the capital there, he would meet Elisha, the great prophet, who in the name of Jehovah could heal him. Well, wow. Naaman went to talk to the king and said, hey, I were this slave girl said this, and so I would like to go to Israel, to Samaria, and talk to Elisha. And so the king of Syria said, well, that's fine. So he wrote a letter to the king of Israel, said, when Naaman comes, I'm sending him to you, so you will heal him of his leprosy. Ha! Well, when the king of Israel read this, of course, he about choked, and he thought, well, the king of Syria is just looking for an excuse to kind of have a war with me. But I'm just making this very short. I'm summarizing this whole story, right? But then Elisha sends word to Naaman to come, right, to the king of Israel to come to where he was. And so he comes with his chariots up to Naaman's house, Elisha's house. And Elisha doesn't even go out. He just sends a notice out to this great general, says, go to the Jordan River and go in the water 7 times, and you'll be healed. Well, the general was not happy at all because we read in the text there, it says he thought Elisha would come out and, you know, do some fancy stuff and cry out to his God and whatever. But go into the river and get wet 7 times, no way. So he went away mad. But the people told him that he was with. They said, well, no, listen, go ahead, do it, try it. And so he did, and he was healed. Okay, you know the story. Well, the point here that I'm trying to make, well, let's go to the next verse here. It says, and he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. This is after he has been healed, okay? Here's this guy coming from outside of Israel, and he says, I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel, so accept now a present from your servant. Okay, here we see that Naaman is understanding that this has been done by God himself. And I believe that as a result of this event, that Naaman became a true follower of Jehovah God. Look at this next verse, 17. It says, for from now on, your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. He was going to go back to his country, which he does. He was going to be a witness, right, to this great God who had done wonders. And I think that's just wonderful. And that's really what we are all about here as well, dear people. We want to be reaching out to our foreign neighbors, those passing through, because many of them will go back and they can be witnesses in the countries from which they come. And you know, there are many people that come here to study, for example, and Rich will say something at the end about this, but they come from countries where we could never go as missionaries. You could never have a missionary go there. There are a great many countries where you cannot get in. But these people can be reached here in this country with the gospel, and automatically, just as right Naaman, they can go back and be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, folks, that's a great part of what we are as a church, right? We want to be reaching out to people from other countries who are here that they might go back with a living Christ in their hearts. What could be more exciting? We want this to be a place where people find Jesus Christ from all countries, from all backgrounds, that go back to their countries and be a witness for the living Lord. Many, many years ago, my wife and I were living in Spain. I mentioned it at the beginning. And I was actually in the School of Opera there in Madrid many years ago, trying to croak out a sound. Didn't work very well, but anyway. I finally gave it up, to tell you the truth, but that's not the point. The point is, I met a student there who was studying from Japan, okay, Atsuko. And with time, she came to Christ because she had been seeing all these texts she was singing, right? There are many Christian lyrics and texts that you sing in classical music. And so finally she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, she began to be discipled with my wife, and eventually she went back. Well, she stayed in Europe for a long time, but she would go back to Japan very often, and she began to hold concerts. And in her concerts, she was a wonderful singer, and she would put her testimony, how she'd come to Christ, faith in Christ, in Japan, okay? And then often in the concert, if they would allow her, she would give her testimony during her concert. And I know of hundreds of Japanese who have come to Christ because of her. So she was one in another country, right? She was discipled in that country, call and make disciples, we said, right? And then she went back to her own country, and she's still there. She's an older gal now, but she still sings, and she still holds concerts, and I know that people are still coming to Christ. And so she's a Naaman, so to speak, right? And that's really what we want, to be used of God here, that we would find Naamans who could go back to their countries and serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. So that's part of our vision, okay? Or our vocation, our mission to reach out to these people and bring them to Christ Jesus. Okay, so Israel was to witness to non-Jews who would be temporarily in the land. And secondly, and again, this is what we're trying to do, right? Secondly, Israel was to be a witness to foreigners who were permanently in the land. We know there are a lot of foreigners that come to Germany and they do stay. And that's actually a good thing. Now, in Israelite society, foreigners actually enjoyed many privileges. We know that in the legal systems of that time, in almost every place, every country, foreigners were just not really appreciated, okay? They didn't have any kind of legal protection. But in Israel, that was different, and it was unprecedented, actually. One evidence of this position that foreigners had in Israel can be seen in this following passage. In Deuteronomy, it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the course of the fatherless and the widow and loves," get that, "loves the foreigner," okay? I was going to say, "I love you." Well, I'm a foreigner too, but I still love you, okay? Can I love you? All right, okay. "And loves the foreigner residing among you." I like that phrase. Because usually we resent the foreigner, I mean, in many places, right? Here it says, "loves a foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners." I mean, this is pretty clear, right? All right? "For you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." Okay? First reason is that Israel knew what it was like to be a foreigner, to be oppressed foreigners. And there they were in Egypt. But I think also, This is said here because God wanted them to understand that, you know, all peoples have before God, they have dignity and they have equality. But there's another reason why God wanted Israel to love the foreigners. Look at this next verse. It says, assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. God wanted foreigners to also hear his word. These are people living in the land, okay, very clearly. Pull them together. Bring them together just like you do the Israelites. Bring the foreigners as well, that they might hear my word that is going to be shared. And so God wanted these foreigners to hear the word, but he also wanted, of course, that the Israelites would treat them well. Because if they didn't treat the foreigners well, it wouldn't be very likely that they would come to faith in Jehovah God, right? There's a little known character in the New Old Testament called Ittai the Gittite. How many have heard of Ittai the Gittite? He's really popular, I see. Okay, great, yeah. Well, when I say this, you'll probably remember him, okay? Okay, Ittai the Gittite. He's a good example of a foreigner living in Israel who I believe came to faith in Jehovah God, okay? In 2 Samuel 15, King David is going through probably the worst crisis of his life. His son Absalom is trying to take over the throne, and he wants to kill his father. Okay? And so David has to flee. And most of Israel goes with Absalom. And there's David fleeing for his life. But he does find some comfort when he realizes that Ittai, a Philistine leader of David's mercenary force of 600 Philistines, remains true to him. Say, so Ittai the Gittite, he was from a part of Philistia. There was a mercenary, right, paid soldiers from Philistia of whom he was their general or their leader, right? And he remains firm with David, and this encourages David. Now notice here. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why do you also go with us? In other words, David leaves Jerusalem and flees out to the desert, right? Trying to get away from Absalom. And there comes Ittai with him. And so David is saying, hey, you're a foreigner. You don't have to take sides. You can just wait to see what happens and then side with the person who won. Sure. Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. But Ittai doesn't want to do that. He wants to share his lot with King David. So here in the context, he pledges allegiance to David. And I think that he does it because he has made David's God his own. Let's go to the next verse. But Ittai answered the king, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be. Now that phrase, we're going to put in yellow. Aha, I have strong fingers. Yeah. Usually, you look at other contexts, and it usually means that the person is acknowledging that God is his Lord, okay? And he's pledging whatever in the presence of God as one belonging to God. And I don't see why we should think that it's any different here. I believe that Ittai, over the years of his contact with King David, really came to put his faith in Jehovah God. And that's why he stays on. Okay? It's not just that he liked David. Oh, David, you're such a good king. David wasn't such a good king, actually. But he stayed with David because he shared David's God. So here's a guy living in the country that over a period of years, maybe many years, had seen David's life, his ups and downs, but his basic commitment to God. And because of that, he had come to put his trust in Jehovah God. That's what I believe very firmly. And so he wanted to demonstrate his loyalty to the God of Israel. And therefore, we see the firmness of his decision. Now, I wonder how many Ittais live around us. How many Ittais are our neighbors? You see, through our words and through our acts, through our actions, we can win them to faith in Christ. Now, especially what concerns me are those Ittais who live among us from countries where they do not hear the gospel. I just have a short list here of many countries, but okay, there are about four. This is I got this off, you can see where I got this from a few days ago. Turkey, there's about 44,000 Turks here. There's no organized witness for Christ among them, but they live among us. My neighbors upstairs, and I don't know what, they're all over, right? Yeah. Afghanistan, 24,000. In fact, I met a couple of guys this morning here from Afghanistan, right? Great. Syria, Iran, China. I mean, we could go on. I'm just mentioning a few here. But folks, all these are potential itties. Okay? And what I want to encourage us is to see, think of this. And that we're going to reach them not just waiting here till somebody shows up. That might happen. But that we would be more proactive and be open to reaching out to these people than keeping with the vision of this church. Many years ago, back in Spain, we won a young German lady in Madrid to Christ, and she later won a young Spanish lady to Christ, and this Spanish girl wanted to be discipled. She came to Hamburg. We had moved to Hamburg, okay? And she wanted to be discipled, and so we discipled her. And she really came out for Christ, and she got a job here in Germany. She stayed on in Germany for quite a few years. But then she was a person who had a gift of evangelism. And so she in Germany began to evangelize. She'd go out on the streets. I mean, for years she did this, right? And eventually she went back to Spain. She won her brother. She won her mother, her father. Today she's a full-time missionary in Spain. And she was an itai, okay, so to speak. Now she's back in her country permanently, and we just praise God for the time we had with her, preparing her, discipling her, and there she is. So I hope that you pick up what I'm getting at today, right? God wants us to be a church of vision. We see Israel's history, they reach out to people. God wanted them to reach out to people who were passing through, coming from outside of the country, also to reach out to those who are in the country, and we should have the same vision. And that coincides with our vision statement. So what about us, dear people? Again, let's look at the vision statement. We exist. In fact, would you read this with me, okay? Follow me and read this vision statement with me. Here we go. Ready? We exist to call and make disciples from every nation to reach all nations. This is the vision. As you put it into practice, that's our mission or our vocation, okay? Now, I want you to be always not on vacation, but on vocation, right? Ha! Are we on vocation? Say it again, hallelujah, up there. Oh, I love it, I love it. Jump down in faith, come on down here, yeah. Put you to the test, huh? Yeah, we're to be on vocation. Are you on vocation? Okay, I'm going to get going now, okay? Yeah. The thing is, you know, we can know these things. Oh, how nice. Amen, brother, preach it. It's goodness, yeah? I mean, folks, we are to be on vocation. We're to live this out. You can know this stuff. You've known it. How many have known it already? How many already heard this before? You better raise your hands, okay? Some of you, okay? I'm getting desperate here. We're not communicating, all right? Anyway, but what God wants you to do is to say, this is so important that I want to live it out. How could I do that, church? Pastor Dan, Pastor James, God, how could I do that? Okay? Don't be on vacation, be on vocation. Putting it into practice. And folks, when you do that, that's God made you for that. When you're worrying about others, not worrying, you're concerned about others, you know, it doesn't have to be foreigners, but when we have so many foreigners, okay, let's reach out to them. And that brings joy and flourishing to your life. As a church, as we are more, or the more focused we are in carrying out this vision and this vocation, the more fulfilled we are, the more we flourish as a church. So that's the challenge for us today. I'm going to ask Richard to come up here. Come on, Richard. You know, we're reaching out, right? Reaching out to people who are either passing through or staying here, foreigners. And Richard, I have a microphone for you, but I have to go get it. I wanted Richard to just talk about one ministry that he's well, we do know he's involved in international students, but there's something they're doing now because this kind of fits into this whole focus we're having today, okay? Do it.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. Yes, I just wanted to, first of all, thank you here at IBC for your interest and your friendship with many international students, and actually not just students, but refugees, other immigrants, other visitors. It's a joy to see downstairs after the service and also before the service that so many people are connecting with new people. And almost every Sunday, I think every Sunday, there are new people coming and checking out IBC. What's this church all about? And I praise God for the vision of IBC, this mission statement that we see, and we're seeking to work that out. And I know that sometimes people invite others home to their home after church, this kind of thing. But often, we don't realize the situation that so many around us are in. Maybe you've lived here for a year or two or 5 or 10 years, and life is just kind of ordinary for you. But you don't realize others in your midst. And I'm thinking especially of the international students today. There's the two missions, the SMD, the student mission in Germany, and OM, Operation Mobilization, have recognized there's a neglected group of people, close to around 500,000 throughout Germany, but right here in Hamburg, over 10,000 international students are studying and they're away from their families. And one day they'll go home. And hopefully they'll take some good news with them back home, just as we saw Naaman in the message today. This general from Syria went back following the God of the Bible. And we see throughout the Bible this message that we are to make a difference. And praise God for not only the vision that this church has had, but Pastor Dan, the example that he has set throughout his life. And each one of us, especially at Christmas or Easter, we can be thinking of a meal. Maybe it's a dinner sometime during that week that we can invite an international student or two or three or four international students to our home. And there are international students who come regularly here to church. Several have never been in a German home or the home of a family that perhaps goes here to church. And so this is an opportunity that you and I can be on mission, can be reaching out to people of other nations. So I have back on the back table there some flyers. The ones that are in orange, with the orange top, in English on one side, German on the other side, this is for host families. Anyone, it can be a host person together with some friends who unite to invite an international student. We make all the arrangements. I know the international students that are lonely, that are missing their family at this time of year. And you can invite them for Easter or Good Friday or sometime during that week or Easter Monday and so on. You can invite them to your home. And you can learn more about it from a website that we have put up. And you can register. You can get information about it right there. If you're an international student, you want to pick up the green one. On the one side, it's in English. The other side, German. The green one, the green flyer, has information about how you can sign up, meet a new family, begin to understand how Christianity is practiced, how the Christian faith is practiced in a Christian home right here in Hamburg. So this is an opportunity for each one of us. Please think about it. Take one of these flyers home. Pray about it. Discuss with your spouse and see what you can do in inviting someone. We need to make the decision this week, if at all possible. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Okay, there's the assignment, okay? So don't be surprised if I ask you, have you been on vacation or on vocation this past week? And if you say vacation, anyway, so that's our challenge, right? May God help us. And this is a great opportunity to put that into practice this week. So God bless you. I'm going to ask the music group to come back up.